The epistle for the fifth Sunday after Easter is taken from that of St. James. Beloved, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and presently he forgets what kind of man he is. But he who has looked carefully into the perfect law of liberty and has remained in it, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, he shall be blessed in his deed. And if anyone thinks himself to be religious, not restraining his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, that man's religion is vain. Religion, pure and undefiled before God the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their tribulation, and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. And the gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in parables. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in parables, but will speak to you plainly of the Father. In that day, you shall ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said to him, "Behold, now thou speakest plainly and utterest no parable. Now we know that thou knowest all things and dost not need that anyone should question thee. For this reason we believe that thou camest forth from God." Thus are the words of today's gospel. With whom there is no change, nor shadow of alteration. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. James tells us in his epistle that God is ever the same, ever unchangeable. It is only natural, then, that the church, which God has established through Christ, would remain unchanged, despite the never-ending changes in the world. But in addition to Christ, and in addition to his church, there's another thing which does not change, and that is the reality of the presence of evil in this world. Since the moment that Lucifer told God that he would not serve him, there have been two camps: the camp of evil and the camp of good. St. Ignatius of Loyola paints the picture for us of these two camps, both gathered on one great plain, preparing themselves to battle one another. There's the camp of Lucifer, the deadly enemy of ours. He wants to lure us under his standard and into his service. We see him, the chief of the enemy, in a vast plain, seated on a throne of smoke and of fire. His appearance inspires horror and terror, and he scatters his demons in order to spread this terror throughout the entire world. And what is his method of spreading this terror? He tries to lure us with riches, with honor, and with pride. Then we look at the other camp, the camp of Christ. Our Lord is standing in a low place in that same great plain, beautiful and attractive. He chooses his own people, the apostles, the disciples, and others, and he sends them out to spread the sacred doctrine which is his. The devil lures with riches, with power, with pride, but Christ tells his apostles to attract souls to spiritual poverty, to meekness and humility. This is the picture that St. Ignatius gives to us. The two camps. And there's only two camps. And it's between these two camps that each one of us must decide. As a consequence of this decision, we become enemies of the other party, of that other camp. Will I choose to devote my life to Lucifer or to Christ? This morning we will crown our Blessed Mother, and this brings to mind the text of the book of the Apocalypse, written by St. John, where we hear that there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. This woman is expecting. She's with child. And then shortly thereafter, she gives birth to a son who will rule the nations. But all is not well. And St. John sees in his vision that there's a dragon waiting to devour this child, this newborn baby. And he immediately starts a great war. Now, this woman prefigures for us the Blessed Virgin Mary. This woman wears a crown on her head, as Mary does, on account of being the Mother of God. And therefore, she is a queen. And where does she find herself immediately after giving birth? In the middle of a war. She's giving birth to one who will save the world, but now finds herself in the middle of battle, the battle of good versus evil. It's the camp of Lucifer against that camp of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just before we read about this vision of the lady clothed with the sun, there is another vision which St. John sees of the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. And this ark, which contained the tablets of the Ten Commandments, was originally brought to Jerusalem by King David, who, as we remember from the encounter in the Old Testament, danced before the ark. He danced before the ark as it was being taken to Jerusalem. It was then placed in the Holy of Holies in the temple and became the focal point of the temple. And it was a sign for all of the Jews of God's presence and God's dwelling among them. Now, around the time of the Babylonian captivity, when the Babylonians conquered and exiled many of the Jews, the Ark of the Covenant was lost. This was a very sad thing for the Jews. And so, for these Jews who were grieving over the loss of the Ark of the Covenant, to hear St. John's vision in which he sees an ark in the temple, this is a wonderful thing to their ears. Our Lord is returning to their midst. Now, how are these two related? The woman clothed with the sun, representing the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then the Ark of the Covenant. The ark represents God's presence among his people, and Mary contains God within her own body, making God present once again among his people. She is the place where God comes to dwell. As we have heard, a great battle immediately broke out after the child was born. And here we see a foreshadowing. In the Old Testament, before the temple was built and the Ark of the Covenant placed inside of it, it used to be carried into battle. So, for example, when they went to Jerusalem and conquered Jerusalem, they carried the Ark with them. And it was a sign to them of God's presence as they tried to defeat the opponent, the evil. Now, as we have heard, the same point can be made about the Blessed Virgin Mary. She, the woman wearing the crown, is the new Ark of the Covenant. She contains God inside of herself. But then she immediately finds herself in the midst of a great battle of good versus evil. The dragon stirs up this war immediately. And we remember how when the Ark of the Covenant was being taken into Jerusalem originally, King David danced before it. Remember the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary to St. Elizabeth. When she arrived, John the Baptist, we are told, leapt in St. Elizabeth's womb. And so here we see a direct parallel to the Ark of the Covenant. David dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. Now John the Baptist leaping for joy, dancing before the new Ark of the Covenant, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who has within her the presence of God once again. And what does all of this show to us? If the woman clothed in the sun and wearing the crown on her head represents the Blessed Virgin Mary, we see how instrumental she is in this struggle between the two camps, that of Lucifer and that of Christ. But moreover, if the Blessed Virgin also is the new Ark of the Covenant, how important is it for us to carry with us this Ark of the Covenant into the battles which we face each and every day, as those Jews did when they went out into battle? We know, as St. James says, that God does not change, nor does the presence of Lucifer's camp here on this earth change. If it was useful, if it was an important thing to bring the Ark of the Covenant into battle thousands of years ago, it's just as useful, if not much more so for us today, to bring the new Ark of the Covenant with us into battle, into those daily battles which we have to overcome. Each and every day, we're attacked by that evil camp. Do not allow yourself to fall into that sad state that the Israelites found themselves in when the Ark of the Covenant was lost. Make sure that you are never unprepared. Do not get caught up. Don't get caught without the powerful intercessory prayer of the Blessed Virgin Mary accompanying you into battle. Pray to her every day. Pray the rosary every day. Honor her in your home, as we will do today in this church. Our enemy remains the same, but so too does that source of our strength, the Ark of the Covenant, the Lady clothed in the sun, the Blessed Virgin Mary. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.